Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and I just have to glorify our Heavenly Father, our Creator, for just His Word and the power of His Word. I get behind this mic with some trepidation, but before I do, I always take that trepidation to Him, and I say, I can't do this without You and without Your Holy Spirit, because I don't know anything at all, and I just pray for Him to open up the Word to me, that I might understand it, and or understand it or not, that I might open it up for you, whoever is listening, that there might bear some fruit here. And He honors that prayer every time. He gives me understanding that I did not have and do not get of my own study skills, or however a man gets understanding on their own. So all I can say is, to Him be all the glory for anything good that comes out of my labor here. We're in Ezra chapter 1, and we're jumping here, made it all the way to verse 3. So let's jump in here. Who is there among you of all His people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah. And of course, this is Cyrus the king making a proclamation to the Yahudim, or the people of Judah, and saying, who will go up and build the house of Yahuwah, God of Israel? He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all of them whose spirit God had raised, to go up and build the house of Yahuwah, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hand with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus, the king, brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them: 30 chargers of gold, 1,000 chargers of silver, 29 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels 1,000. And all the vessels of gold and silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon into Jerusalem. Now these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity, of those which had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away into Babylon, and came again into Jerusalem and Judah, every one unto his city, which came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Reeliah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispar, Bigvai, Rehum, Baana, the number of the men of the people of Israel. The children of Parash, 2,172. The children of Shephatiah, 372. The children of Arah, 775. The children of Pahath Moab, of the children of Jeshua, of Joab, 2,812. The children of Elam, 1,254. The children of Zattu, 945. The children of Zakai, 70. The children of Bani, 642. The children of Bai, 623. The children of Azgad, 1,222. The children of Adonai Kam, 666. That's a nice number, a nice round number there, 666. And I'm sure there's some prophecy pundits out there who would want to attach some significance to that. And perhaps they may be, and perhaps there is not, but I'll leave that to the pundits. The children of Bhagavai, 2,056. The children of Adin, 454. The children of Atur, of Hezekiah, 90 and 8. Of Bazai, 320 and 3. The children of Jorah, 112. Yeah, I guess they're going to list all of the men. Wow, they've got a lot of people to go through here. I guess they did a census, I guess, or made a roster of everybody who went. And we have a record here by the hand of Ezra. Okay. Asgad, 2,222. Adonikam. Okay, I got there already. Let's see. Atur of Hezekiah, 90 and 8. Okay, I already did those, didn't I? I scrolled down to see how long the list was, and it's quite long. Lost my place here. They're all starting to look the same after a while. Hashem, 220 and 3. Gibar, 90 and 5. Bethlehem, 123. Netophah, 50 and 6. Anathoth, 128. Asmaveth, 40 and 2. Kirjath Arim, Sepharah, and Beeroth, 740 and 3. A lot of interesting names. The children of Ramah and Geba, 620 and 1. The men of Michmas, 122. The men of Bethel of Ai, 223. Children of Nebo, 50 and 2. Magbish, 150 and 6. And the children of the other, Elam, 1,254. The children of Harim, 320. Of Lod, Hadad, and Ano, 720 and 5. The children of Jericho, 345. The children of Sina, 3,630. The children of Jediah, the house of Jeshua, 970 and 3. The children of Emer, 1,052. The children of Pashur, 1,247. Children of Harim, 1,017. The children of Jesha, and Kadamel, of the children of Hodaviah, 70 and 4. The singers of the children of Asaph, 120 and 8. The children of the porters of the children of Shalom, the children of Adar, the children of Talmon, the children of Akkub, the children of Hatita, the children of Shobiah, in all 139. The Nithanims, the children of Ziah, the children of Hasufa, the children of Taboath, the children of Keros, the children of Saiah, the children of Padon, the children of Lebanah, the children of Hagabah, the children of Akub, the children of Hagab, and I'm just going to say the names and say, instead of saying the children of another 100 times here, of Shalmai, Hanan, Gidel, Gehar, Reaiah, Rezin, Nekodah, Gazam, Uzzah, Paseah, Besiah, Asna, Mehunim, Nephusim, Bakbuk, Hakapha, Harhur, Bazluth, Mahida, Harsha, Barkos, Sisera, Thama, Neziah, Hadapha, the children of Solomon's servants, the children of Sotiah, the children of Sophereth, the children of Peruda, Jela, Darkon, Gidel, Sephatiah, Hatil, Kochereth of Zebiam, of the children of Ami, all the Nethamins, the children of Solomon's servants, were 392. And these were they which went up from Tel Melah, Tel Harsa, Cherub, Adan, Emer, but they could not show their father's house and their seed whither they were of Israel. So you had those that did not have a genealogy, basically, and could not name their father's house. Their children of Delaiah, the children of Tobiah, Nekoda, 652, the children of the priests, the children of Habaiah, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillah, which took a wife of the daughters of Barzillah, the Gileadite, and was called after their name. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore were they, as polluted, put from the priesthood. So you see that here the genealogy is very important. Even in going back into the land to rebuild the temple, we have Yahudah, the Yahudim, or Judah, as translated here for us in the Authorized King James Version of, 1798, when they updated the pronunciation with the J and so forth. And it goes on, and then they added all the words that you see in italics in your Authorized King James Version for clarification. And sometimes they're helpful, and you got to look at them when you see those words in the italics, and you realize, well, those are not the Word of God. They're added as part of the Authorized Version for clarification, meaning that they were not in the 1611 King James Version. And a lot of people don't understand that the 1611 King James Version and the Authorized Version are not the same thing. They're two separate versions. The 1611, of course, preceded. It has the old English language and usage in it, and a lot of the helps, a lot of the words like there were and was, and are added in and among, as I'm just looking at this page here, where I see all of the words in italics. And then I see a lot of people do this. They'll say the Authorized 1611 King James Version. Well, there's no such animal, because there is the 1611 King James Version, and it's not called the Authorized. The Authorized did not come till later, and it was authorized by numerous what do they call them now? Denominations of its day, for usage in their denominational churches. And that's where it got the title Authorized, because they authorized the changes made by that scholar. And you can research that for yourself if you're interested in that. And you'll find that what I'm saying is true by your own research. And just a little bit of Googling, as you know, the origins of the King James Version, or whatever you can Google to find it. I'm sure with very little effort, you can find all that information out for yourself. You might have to dig through quite a bit of resources to find it, as I did. I spent many hours looking into the King James Version and where the changes were made and how they came about and why they came about. And as I go through the scripture, sometimes I'll share some of those things, as I am right now. But need to just pay attention when you see the italicized words and realize that they're added for clarification only. And the point I left off with before I got in that little side trail was the genealogies and the importance of the genealogies. The genealogies were important up to the time of the Messiah. After that, genealogies are nothing. And you have some in so-called, what they call the Messianic movement. And these are Gentiles, most of them, who have suddenly discovered their Jewish roots and have even come up with genealogies. And here we have a problem. After 7 years captivity, we have people that are Hebrew then, obviously Hebrew, who can't come up with a genealogy, so they're left out of the priesthood. Now, what are these people doing 2,000 years later, suddenly discovering that they're Jews? As I knew such a man. I knew a man, knew him personally. His name was Steve Butt. That sounds very Jewish, doesn't it? Steve Butt, B-U-T-T. And he was in a ministry for quite a while. And it was pretty popular way back in the day, a deliverance ministry where he was delivering people. Had a radio program, and he was delivering people out of the occult and, you know, demon possession and things like that. And then he started discovering some other things in the scripture. And then he changed his name. And now his name is, let's see, what's his new name? See, because I always look at him and I see Steve Butt. His new name is, I forget what it is, but he has a messianic ministry now. And where the man was, there wasn't a hint that he was Jewish when I knew him, when I met him. Well, he was still keeping Sunday then. And I was telling him about the Sabbath at that time, saying, you know, there's something to the Sabbath thing, and it isn't Sunday. But he was, he would have no part of it then. And I just realized, well, he doesn't want to hear about that. He just wants to do Sunday, and that's fine with me. So that's what he was doing at that time. And, anyway, he discovered his Jewishness. And so you have all, and he's not the only one. There's a whole bunch of them. And there's a temptation there, I think, when people start getting into the Word of God and they start going back to the Hebrew and looking at the languages and stuff. I think there's a temptation there to want to be Jew, to want to be Jewish, to become more pure that way. And, it's an unfortunate temptation that many people fall for, you know, because I was tempted with that kind of thing too, getting back to it, and that maybe the way is to become more, you know, original, what God intended. But then the more I study, the more I see that that's not really what he intended, that only led to one thing, and that was it led to idolatry of that thing, that we are exclusive and we are the people of God, and rather than becoming a testimony to the nations, to bring all the nations in, and they became something else totally, and something that brought about that, you know, that abomination that bring about the desolation. And yeah, we can go there again, right? I don't think we want to go there again. Let's just serve our Heavenly Father every day and be obedient to Him. But I don't think making up a fantasy and coming up with a genealogy and then believing a lie and, as if somehow there is salvation in the flesh, as if somehow, contrary to the word of the Messiah himself, who said that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Genealogy cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If you're relying on your genealogy, if you're relying on your Jewishness or your belief in it, and this goes for all the British Israelism stuff too, relying on genealogies, relying on the flesh, flesh and blood, genealogies, your lineage cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No one is born into the kingdom of God unless it is through that new birth. Being born in the flesh, you cannot be born into the kingdom of God. You can be born into other kingdoms of God, you know, like the Catholic kingdom of God. Yes, Catholics are born. And you can be born into to Islam too, because, you know, I mean, you can be converted to it, but very few people are converted to Islam, unless it's by the sword. And very few people are converted to Catholicism, unless it's by the sword. And, or by force, you know, convert or die. That was the way of the Inquisition of the past. Now they're new Inquisitions, they just kill you outright, basically, if you don't convert. And, well, that's the way it happened in the past. But that's more the mode of Islam today, is to convert people by the sword. And if they're not true believers, well, they will convert. If they're not walking in the Spirit of God, they will convert easily, because they really have nothing else. They have nothing else to stand on. So that's where an inquisition is, just to sort out those who are truly followers of Yahuwah, the creator of the universe, because they will not convert. And most of the rest will convert. And then there are a few that, you know, have some type of principle that will not convert, even though they're not following the truth. And that's why historically, the Vatican, that government over there, killed so many Jews and had such a hatred for them because they would never bow down to the Pope. No true believer would, anyway. So there you have your genealogies, and you have the importance of them during this time of Ezra. And because they were going back, and Judah, or the Yahudim, had to survive to bring forth the Messiah. They did not deserve to survive because of their abominations, you know, their national abomination, which desolated the nation, which desolated the Jerusalem and desolated the temple. But they had to survive because the Heavenly Father gave His word, and everyone, including you and me, those that were looking forward to the Messiah, were depending on it, the seed coming forth from that lineage, from that genealogy. And there you have the importance of genealogy up until the time of the Messiah. So the whole congregation together was 42,303. Beside their servants and their maids, of whom there were 7,337, and there were among them 200 singing men and singing women. Their horses were 736, their mules 245, their camels 435, their asses 6,720, and some of the chief of their fathers, when they came to the house of Yahuwah, the Lord, which is at Jerusalem, they offered freely for the house of God to set in his place. They gave after their ability unto the treasurer of the work 61,000 drams of gold and 5,000 pounds of silver and 100 priests' garments. So the priests and the Levites and some of the people and the singers of the porters and the Nethinims dwelt in their cities, and all Israel in their cities. You're listening to Cross the Border. We've come to the end of our first hour today, and we'll continue in a little while. Don't go anywhere. And stay tuned for the news. We'll be back.